I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe.
Hi.
Oh my god, we didn't look at the numbers for Babe.
That's fine.
Okay.
Ryan is trolled by all the numbers.
The readers are dropping.
The readers are down.
I think I lost everyone when I started talking about my asshole. And getting fucked, too. Honestly, I feel like people are like, TBH, like, more homophobic than they realize.
I didn't want to be the one to to this, but that's what I thought, too.
No, I really do think that, because I do think that people are uncomfortable with that kind of frank discussion about gay sex.
People are really uncomfortable with gay sex.
It's weird, though. I mean, it's so strange.
It's weird because we live in
a
world...
And that makes me want to talk about it more.
I know, but we live in a world where that's not unusual to have that kind of conversation.
That's brunch talk.
Yeah, and like, it's fine, but everyone else lives in a world where it's like, what is poppers? And
also, like our,
they don't know the ins and outs.
I feel like the
sex.
Readers are mostly like women, so I feel like they probably
so they don't relate.
That.
I wonder what percentage of our female readers
have had anal.
Should I make that part of the listener?
Should we do
poll?
Part of the poll? Have you done anal?
I would love to know.
Honestly,
and then we can tell advertisers. I'm like, 40% of our audience has also had anal sex.
So if you want to KY, if you want to do some lube,
we want to like get a lube
then
sponsor.
Then you come to the right demo, honey.
Yeah,
right.
We should get a lube sponsor.
We should, absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely.
If you're listening to this and you're connected to any sort of lube industry that is interested in sponsoring a podcast,
email us. Honestly, we're so basic. What is the lube that we use? We use the really...
You guys use like a very
weird,
basic...
Right? It's very basic, but... It's because all the fancy lubes are like water based or silicone based. I forget which one. Whatever.
Water based ones are the best ones to use.
See, the silicone is weird. It's messy as fuck.
Silicone's weird. It kind of sticks to things.
Gay sex is already messy enough. I don't want to add weird lube in the next. Oh, and there we've had the readers drop off.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Here we go again. Don't get me started. They're like, ah! They're like,
you're like, I thought Ryan had enough. I thought he was done. I thought he was over it.
I can't stop.
I'm like, babe, just chill on the anal talk. Is it okay when I talk about anal but not
you?
Yeah,
I think so. I honestly think so, because I really do think people are more homophobic than they realize. I think it's so deeply rooted. It's weird.
I'm a
conspiracy queerist.
This is an opportunity to confront your homophobia. Keep listening.
Yeah, I dare you.
Podcast until
I dare you.
Till the very end.
I dare you to confront your demons.
And
I dare you.
Also rate it 5 stars and give us a great review.
Oh yeah, please do, actually. That's important.
Yeah.
We had a lot of those and now they've stopped. And again, I think the loose apple.
Ryan literally lives for a review. I just read through all of them this last
week. Aren't they great?
They're great.
Such great writers.
But Ryan
always
wants more.
I want more.
More,
well, because it matters.
More.
Give me more.
Give me five stars. More. How do you like it?
Also, like my photos.
If you're brave in a review, think about and you're a female listener.
Yeah.
Think about being like, hey, 5 stars and I love anal.
You know what? It's funny because people didn't talk. Usually I get tweets, you know, Instagram, whatever, people commenting on things I talked about. No one spoke about my asshole, which I, you know what, part of me respects it, but then part of me is like, let's talk about it. Let's open a dialogue.
Yeah,
I'm an activist.
You're trying to, like, literally open a dialogue.
I'm a loose asshole activist, and I will give voice to the voiceless, to the hold. You know what I mean? I will take the bullet. I will take the bullet for assholes everywhere. And again, see, here we are again.
You're brave.
Sorry.
I
want to see you be brave. I want to see you be brave.
So just
that's me talking to my asshole every night.
That
I want to see you be brave. just want to see ya.
What is its elasticity status right now?
I think it's pretty fine.
Okay.
It's cool. It's like taking a nap.
Yeah.
Little cutie.
Well.
Okay. So, I
for those who are still reading.
I'm going to talk about something that's far more relatable than my loose asshole.
We actually shouldn't even be recording today.
Why?
Because we had, because you were supposed to be
out of town. I wasn't supposed to be here. Here's the deal. So I went to go visit my mom in Eureka. Eureka, for those who don't know, is a town that has not found it. It's in Northern California.
Is it different than Yreka?
I don't know what that is.
Well, so I went to a boarding school up in like Northern California.
Yeah, it's
like,
it's
by like Redding and and my school is in a teeny town called Whitmore, and we'd always play these other towns in sports. And I think Eureka was one of them, but we called it Yreka.
Well, that's a mistake.
I mean, I don't know.
That's a mistake. Yeah. You probably did play Eureka.
We did. We definitely did play Eureka.
Here's the deal.
It's methy. It's like
methy as fuck. But what I love about it is that everyone's methy and overweight.
Methy and messy.
Methy, messy, and overweight, which I love a meth head who's overweight.
I love.
Like, they've been doing it wrong. I don't know.
No.
Right?
I mean, they've been living, laughing, loving, mething.
And eating.
And feasting.
Yeah, feasting. We do meth and then we feast.
I love like the idea of an overweight speed freak. It's a really good genre.
No, it is a genre. And that Eureka is the queen of that genre. So here's the deal. Getting there is really hard. You have to take two planes. You have to fly,
Do you fly into Redding?
No, you fly to SF and then you go from SF to Eureka.
Eureka has its own airport?
They do. But by the way, it costs like a trip to Europe to go there. Like literally like it's either you go to Versailles or you go to like Meth. That's like literally my option. So
it's pretty there though.
It's
right?
pretty. It's pretty ugly. No, it's pretty. It's pretty. It's beautiful. It's in the Redwoods.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's the pretty wild of.
I know. And my mom comes to me last night.
Northern
Cali. She goes, she's like, there's a gay guy with CP who lives in Eureka. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Then as we're leaving her like neighborhood watering hole, like we see him. I saw the gay guy with CP get out of a car.
Did you talk to him?
I was like, honk, honk, representation matters. That's like, my sister, my life. No, I didn't say anything. But you know what's so fucking funny is that he saw me and I saw him and it's like Gimp recognized Gimp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Gimp recognized Gimp.
There was a nod of familiarity.
Gimp. There was a nod and some drool on both our ends.
I love
and
that.
We just, that was it.
This is like the setup for a movie.
I know.
Like
an
indie.
A movie that no one will write and no one will see.
Yeah.
Yeah. A movie that literally has a target demo of two people. So anywhoozy, I bring Jonathan, who has never been. I'm super excited to kind of have him there. My mom is freaking out because she like loves this shit and she loves like taking care of people. Now there's two people to take care of. She's like on cloud nine.
Mm-hmm.
So we get up. So basically getting there is so hard. Basically my options are like a 6 a.m. flight, which really trolls me deeply. We wake up at 3:45. We fly to San Francisco, no problem. We land at like 7:30 and I get a text notification that my flight's been canceled. Okay, like that's a problem because literally like there are only three flights a day to Eureka. So if one's canceled, you have to wait like 7 hours for the next one. But whatever, I decide to wait and take the 4 p.m., a couple hours pass, and then we get another notification that that flight's been canceled. At this point, we're like, okay, fuck me. We just need to spend the night in San Francisco and go out on the next flight. We get standby, which is like a TBD. I don't fuck with standby, but at this point, I was desperado.
Yeah, because you can't just cancel everything.
No.
At this point, can you?
Well, I didn't want to. I really wanted
to
go see my mom.
Yeah, it was still Friday, so you were like, you'd go there and then have like a couple days and then come back.
Yeah, it was fine. So I was like, okay, we'll just wait it out. I know how important it is for my mom, and I wanted to see her. So, we spend the night at the Fairmont, which is like chic.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Fairmont. You been?
No, actually.
There's this tiki restaurant called the Tonga Room. It's everything.
You love a tiki moment.
I love a tiki moment. But
I like the Clift Hotel in SF.
Oh, yeah. That
I stayed there.
Too.
It's like very chic.
That
and
one's
like,
very chic.
It's like,
yeah. I love that hotel too.
But I also like San Francisco just has good hotels, I think. No. Some of them are good.
No, it's weird because they're all downtown, which no one spends time in downtown. Like, no one cares. Like, mm-hmm. You just go there to work. And there's what's shocking to me is that there's not an Ace Hotel in the Mission or something like that. The Mission is sort of like the Brooklyn of San Francisco. Actually, Oakland is the Brooklyn of San Francisco. But it's weird to me that there's no like chic Ace Hotel.
One time I stayed with like an ex-boyfriend from a long time ago. We went to San Francisco for a trip and we stayed in the Mission. I like found a hotel for us that was like a cute, fine hotel for like $150 a night or whatever. And we like came back from dinner one night and there is just like a gathering of homeless people like outside of our hotel.
Yeah.
Like it's a wild.
San Francisco is basically one giant downtown LA.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just a giant.
It's kind of amazing. It's like
no, it's
somewhat
amazing.
Scary, but yeah. Like also kind of amazing. And you're just like, whoa. Like it was truly.
Also like those yuppies should be scared.
Yeah.
Let them be scared.
It's like a little bit dangerous and a little bit sexy.
I love that.
Yeah.
So we get to the hotel. I'm like so tired and I just like literally like just go into bed and I just like listen to music. I take a bath. I like don't go outside until it's time to go to dinner. I go to Zuni Cafe because that's the originator of this chicken.
I just need to interrupt and I love that this story is lasting like 20 minutes because it's like it's a pretty simple story.
It's,
it's just like every single flight got
canceled.
But I
want to break it down. I want to break it down and I think this is a nice palate cleanser for my loose asshole.
Oh my god.
This is me just being
real.
This is
also this is a reader loss of a story.
It's oh I know
this
it is,
a,
is. Hold on okay so
okay, come on
so
all right,
it gets
Zuni
good
Cafe.
No it doesn't
it doesn't like I
okay,
know
stop
where this
it
goes.
Okay so we go to dinner at Zuni. The chicken at Zuni FYI is not as good as the chicken at AOC. I've been eating the chicken at AOC forever. It's called the Ode to Zuni. So
I
it was,
wish we
it
had
was,
like a true like a reader meter that just showed
I know
when they
a reader
off.
Meter
like it's but like there would be a big drop in the reader meter
oh,
when
totally.
You go the chicken at Zuni is not good at the chicken at AOC is
well it's
much
well
better.
No it actually shook my mind like, bro, like it
no
was
that
crazy.
Is shocking
no it is shocking because we've been eating the chicken at AOC forever. We actually had it on like Tuesday or Monday
yeah.
and ugh, delish by
yeah.
the way
thank you
and
for that
oh yeah of course
dinner.
It's delish
yeah.
So I was so excited to try Zuni because that's the originator. I wanted no longer the Ode. I wanted the mm-hmm. Like the real deal and I went and no
sometimes the knockoff is better than the original.
I know. It's true.
And it's really our AOC journey this past week inspired me. I'm going to cook what? That chicken.
Oh, you should.
I'm going to.
Oh, great. Let me know because I want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be involved
okay,
in it.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So
from a financial
okay,
standpoint.
Okay, great. I'll be the benefactor.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But I think I can really pull it off. I think
yeah.
it'll be good. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, chic.
Yeah, this podcast is brought to you by the Zuni Cafe chicken.
No, it's by the AOC chicken.
By the AOC chicken.
By the way, the reader should know that this happens a lot where I like really like you make really good food and I like pay like I pay for the ingredients
yeah
so we go to like a butcher like I'm all about a butcher I don't
yeah.
like going to Whole Foods. I like going to a butcher.
Ryan will fund the food experience and then yeah. I'll cook it and then
great.
We're both really happy because I love to cook
yeah she
and
does
he loves
and I love to eat
yeah
so, it's
so it works out great
yeah
and that's why we're fat.
So
you are done it. You were really upset about the chicken.
It was really
cut on my like everything.
Okay, so basically, I was really upset about the chicken, and
I love
also the- made the mistake. Wait, but I was getting sick. We met up with Jonathan's mom, so we got to see her, which
oh,
was great.
Nice.
Love her, little sweetie of a woman. She's a pastor, but like the good kind,
a Buddhist.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
she's great.
Same.
So, by the way, I was sick. But I also was so tired and just like I needed some cocktails. That was a big mistake. Don't drink cocktails when you're sick because you will wake up 4 hours later with the worst hangover of your entire life. Like it's crazy.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt right
what?
Now with a sick trick.
Okay. Go ahead.
And that is something that I used to do and then just stopped doing it. But now I recently started doing it every time I feel like a cold coming
yeah.
on. So as soon as I get a throat tickle, I make a cocktail of one Airborne and a packet of Emergency in like a tiny glass of water.
Uh-huh.
Like, so it's super, super concentrated.
Okay.
I let it all like all the ingredients combine
dance.
And like melt together.
Uh-huh.
And then I just like pretty much chug it. And I do that in the morning and
that's
it
not shocking.
That is shocking.
That's not shocking. You just took two of the biggest things that everyone takes. You
yeah.
put them together.
And then I
that's
take zinc and it helps.
Oh, zinc.
Okay. Yeah. And it helps. Okay. And I've
zinc
successfully,
I heard actually helps.
I've successfully
well, you gave me this cold.
I know, but listen, I've successfully beaten colds by doing this, like
okay.
gotten almost sick. And then the last time that I got this like mini cold, it was not as bad as my
this
usual.
This feels really mini.
It was
this
very
mini,
mini because
yeah,
I just like,
it's mini.
Yeah. Because
it's
I didn't.
Rogers or
so anyone, any reader that wants a sick trick.
Okay.
Do that at the first sign. I swear to God, twice a day with some zinc. you'll thank me.
And they're back, and now they're about to go away again.
Yeah.
So anyway, so okay. All right. So I woke up like a fool, like at 3 a.m. with a terrible headache. I had the worst hangover. It was almost like I felt like I had gotten the flu. I was like, this can't be a hangover, but it just like kind of was a hangover. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just don't drink when you're sick. That's stupid. So I was like making a lot of bad choices. So then we had to get up at 6 a.m. for our flight that I just knew that we weren't going to get on. And we went to the airport. We didn't get on our flight. And then the woman forgot about us. We were on standby and she goes, oh yeah, you're going to get on. And then we're like, okay, great. She's like, okay, I'll call you up. And then we came back like 20 minutes later when people were boarding. We're like, hi. And she goes, oh, I forgot about you guys. And we're like, thank you. Okay. So then we're put on this flight to go to LA, which gets delayed 3 hours. And then we go on the flight finally. And then they need to put – we sit there for an hour and they're like, actually, there's mechanical difficulties. We have to take you off the plane. So we go off the plane and a woman who is wearing a Jesus Loves You shirt just starts sobbing.
I thought it was God is love.
Oh, God loves you. It was something. It was like God loves you. And she goes to the front desk and she's like, in this moment, like literally no one cares or has any compassion for us and no one knows what's going on. And you know what? She was right.
Yeah.
She wasn't wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was wrong about her shirt, but she wasn't wrong about what she was saying.
No, airlines have the least compassion. They don't
care. Also just truly inept. I mean, we also...
Airlines are the ultimate babe, except for maybe Virgin, because they're pretty good.
No, Virgin's chic.
And like JetBlue, I think, is chic.
Virgin's great. Everyone else is a slut.
Like
everyone else is a slut.
They've never cared.
No, they don't
they,
care.
They like don't care about
also,
anything.
Also, when we got kicked off, when we missed our flights the first day... We were in line at customer service for an hour and a half. I mean, this is like, it just never ends. And then we like, this woman next to us who like didn't know how to operate a phone because she was like 95 years old. We had to like teach her how to use her iPhone to call her friend. And then she like tried to like, she was like going to Sacramento and she was like, oh, where are you guys going? Eureka? And then we're like, yeah. And she goes, maybe we can all rent a car and drive up there together. And we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that would have actually been a good solve.
Yeah, except for like me and Jonathan don't drive and we're useless and maybe she would kill us. Anyway.
All right. So is this story over?
Basically we got it. So this one broke down sobbing, which was amazing. And then I was like, I'm here for this. I like got the popcorn. Yeah.
I love like a public
drama. I love
drama.
A babe out in the wild.
Yeah,
a babe out in the wild because it got me. And then by the way, we got on our flight and we came home. It was fine, but we had no sleep for the last 2 days. It was crazy, but it got me thinking about babing out. Okay.
Ryan walked into this apartment today and he goes, like last night was the first night he's like gotten a full night's sleep and he comes and he goes, God, it's just so amazing how restorative sleep can be.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's true.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I woke up today feeling a lot better. My cold is almost gone. I worked out.
It was a real there great. She is moment.
Yeah.
There she is. I was like, yeah, sleep is great.
Okay. So stop it. So it got me thinking about babing out in the wild because I am a friends and family babe only.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I only babe out to myself and to the people who are closest to me. That's how lucky they are.
Yeah.
But I don't ever lose my shit in the wild. And I actually have always been, because I lived in New York for 6 years, which is like the land of like public babes.
Oh, yeah.
But I never have done it. I've truly never like lost my cool in public. And I think it honestly has to do with being hashtag disabled. And like moving through the world as a disabled person, it's sort of like you don't. You think people are already kind of judging you and thinking you're strange. So it's like your job is to like disarm them and like make them feel really good and just make them feel like you're and I feel like I haven't earned the right to babe out in public because then I think if I babe out in public, people are like, oh, there's that crazy guy with a limp. He's like probably crazy and like weird.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want people to see me that way. So I think I just go above and beyond being like amazing and having people be obsessed with me. And I think I just realized that today, actually, in the shower when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, I'm scared to like babe out in public because I don't want people to think I'm like some weird disabled freak.
Yeah.
And then I'm sad and I'm like, oh.
But you've probably babed out in public, just not to your knowledge. Because
I feel like when
you're publicly babing out, when you're in the midst of a babe.
But I've never lost my cool though in public.
Never? No.
You've
never like screamed at someone?
Well, this one time, Kaylin and Bailey and I went to Napa together and they got blackout drunk, the two of them. And I just, like, we almost got kicked out of the restaurant. And I became like the one who had to keep it all together. Like, you know how when that happens in party situations where like everyone you can see is like totally going to a blackout zone. So you actually have to stay in the light to like keep the train moving.
Yeah.
And so that was me. I was like staying in the light, getting sunburned. And like, it was like, bad. And so I eventually, like, after we almost got kicked out of the restaurant, I, like, took them aside and I was like, you guys, I screamed at them. I was like, you need to stop. Like, it was crazy. I could see Kaylin got really scared. I think Bailey doesn't remember any of it. Mm-hmm. but that was, like, I actually was shocked. Cause, like, when I do lose my temper, like, in a real way, it actually is scary.
Yeah.
I can go to, like, a dark place, but that never really happens. That's like a very once in a blue fucking moon.
I have to be really pushed to the edge to like fully babe out.
I'm about to break.
Yeah. And like,
one step closer to the edge. And I'm about to break. That Linkin Park song.
Yeah, but it takes a lot. I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty easygoing about stuff. And my babe moments are very internalized, even to the point where it's just like in my own head, I'm just like fully losing my grip on reality and sanity. But on the outside, I seem like pretty much fine.
Same.
Yeah.
But it's like, I do wish I would allow myself to babe out in the wild because you know what? I think that's true. Like I seek people's approval and I want everyone to love me. Like I go into every situation being like, I want everyone to be obsessed.
Well, yeah, that's like very human though.
Yeah, but I think it does tie in my disability and like wanting to be like accepted and normalized and like knowing that I'm going in, giving people something that they might not be used to. And so wanting to make sure that it's like so palatable for them to enjoy, which honestly, fuck that. I don't want to do that.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yeah.
And say that
you're gonna go out on a limp.
I'm gonna go out on a limp here and say that you managed to babe out on this podcast.
What do you mean?
Just by telling that 20-minute story about how many hotels you stayed
at. But that's a minor babe. On the babe meter, that's low, but it's still a babe.
And it's on like a semi-public scale. Yeah. I think you're babing out in public a lot more than you think you're babing out.
But I'm okay, fine. I'm just talking about like a stage five babe.
Yeah, a stage five, meltdown.
Babe. Yeah.
A babe meltdown.
I don't go to stage five.
Well,
I can maybe go to three.
Maybe this will be your year.
I know. I really want to have more public babe outs.
What would... Yeah.
Babe out, flame out.
Well, I can't wait for that to happen.
Yeah. stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Anyway.
Anyways, I had my own like solitary internal mental babe out yesterday when I decided to go through all my finances.
I feel like, by the way, you do that a lot. I feel like whenever you, I feel like you go over your finances like every few months, and whenever you crunch the numbers or the numbers crunch you,
the numbers crunch back.
They bite back. No, you don't crunch them, they crunch you.
So I grew up not knowing anything about money or like how it worked. It just like was in my life and I like live, laughed, loved and spent. Yeah. And like that was like pretty much all through my 20s. And even when I was like starting work as a writer and became a New York Times bestselling author, I still was just like live, laugh, love, spend. Don't really look at like the receipts. Until I hit my 30s when I was like, oh, you actually have to be like responsible for your own financial.
Pay your taxes, right?
Well, no, but yeah. I'm like working on fixing that.
Yeah.
So do you want to shame me more?
No. Oh my God. No, I just want to give clarity to the readers.
Well, no, I didn't know how taxes worked. Like my whole life is a write-off. So like I just won't pay my taxes. And then when the tax bill comes, it'll be like $1,000 or like it'll be like $500 because like literally my entire life is my biz. So that's not true. If you think that is true, I'm here to give you a sad reality check that it's not. And like you will have a lot of problems dealing with like the aftermath of those decisions. So you should really like get clear on taxes or like get an accountant who can like keep you very clear.
Right.
So now I do go through, like, I started this process of being, like, trying to get my financial shit together, like, probably a year and some change ago, and it's not easy, and it is a thing where I look at my, I will look and crunch the numbers, and then fully, like, melt down, like, want to die.
Because you're in debt,
because
right?
I'm in
and
debt.
It's so hard to get out of debt in this country.
Yeah, and it's also just, like, once you realize kind of, like, where you're at, it feels like just this, like, bottomless pit.
It feels impossible to get
because it's also,
out of.
Like, and I talked about this on the last episode, but I feel like, especially in America with capitalism, the money in your bank account is who you are. Like, they're very closely tied. So the last time, and I realized this yesterday because I like took I like took an Adderall and I was like, I'm doing this, and like went in. And
no,
I was
wonder
like,
also like an Adderall come down from that.
No, that's... but it wasn't that. I was actually that helped because I was like, got. I was like, just we're gonna dive in, and then I started feeling like, you know, when like you see the numbers and like right. all you feel like how in the red you are, and you're looking at the facts. My brain started to be like, I was like fully on the verge, and I was like, I hate doing this. Like, I'm actually about to flip out. Like, what is going to happen to me? Like, going through every horrible thing in my head. And then I was just like, okay, like, you're not giving up on like making these spreadsheets. You're going to push through. You're going to put all your expenses down. You're going to like put how much income you're making and like get really, really clear.
Right.
And once I pushed through and was clear, I was like, wow, that's horribly shocking. But also like, I'm clear now.
But
like,
you've
I get it.
You've been shocked before, and I feel like you're in a better financial place now than you were a year ago.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't claim to
but
understand.
But like the last time that I went through this process, it's like I would write everything down and kind of like just put things on a piece of paper and like look at my like bank statements and then realize like, oh my God, this is bad, but never go through the this is bad to then get exactly explicitly clear on how much money is coming in and how much money is going out.
Right.
It would just be like, I'd get to a point where I'd be like, oh my God, like I have $1,500 for the rest of the year and it's May. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? And then right. I would melt down, dissociate from reality, like go into a K-hole, like cry, think about suicide, and right. then just be like, ah! And then right. like, so now I'm moving through that.
Good.
And like just being clear, and I'm just saying knowledge is power. And so now that I know, I'm like, okay, well, I know exactly how much money's coming in and exactly like what my life costs.
Right.
And now it's up to me to like get more money coming in.
Knowledge
but it's
is power.
Hard.
No,
it's
but just... it is happening though. Like I think that with you, what's great, what makes me happy about your stuff is that you have nowhere to go but up from
yeah.
here. I mean, truly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think you're going to be okay.
And once you start to see, like, I was like, okay, well, this like the number in January was worse than the number in February. So at least there's like a little bit of progress. And mm-hmm. then it's like, okay, well, let's just make the number in March like a little bit less. And right. it's like a slow process. So I'm basically teaching myself financial stuff, which I truly literally lived most of my life up to like a year ago or 2 years ago being like, whatever, someone else will deal with it and right. it will all just work out. And right. That's just like not true.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely, everyone has to get woke toward like regarding their finances unless
you're
super
just
rich,
like,
and then
yeah.
they never have to get woke. It's yeah. true. I mean, I'm really bad at money. I've always been really bad at money.
Yeah.
I've never had to really be good at money.
No, because you have.
Yeah, I have. Well, when I was 18, I got my cerebral palsy settlement money, not to brag.
But that was kind of like a trust fund.
It was. It was a trust fund, and it was like, but I mean, it was interesting because it was because of cerebral palsy. It was not, I mean, I grew up very like lower
middle
class. Clarify
what you mean by the cerebral palsy money.
Oh, so
for people that don't know,
when the doctor delivered me, I don't know if you can tell, but he made a mistake. Not his best work. Honey,
you're fired. Was he fired?
I don't think he was, but we sued the insurance company of the hospital because he did make some grave errors delivering me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was awarded an amount of money, and it was sort of the amount of money that was like, it was rude in a way because it was like, it was money that you cannot live off of.
Mm-hmm.
It was like not money like that,
mm-hmm.
but it was money under which like you could get accustomed to a certain kind of life, and then you had to work really hard to maintain it yourself.
It's a nest egg,
and you can't deplete the nest egg because like then you have nothing. And so I've been really fortunate to have this nest egg, and I spent a lot of money in my 20s, and I went to liberal arts college, and my parents have no money, by the way. I mean, like, my mom was a nurse. My dad is a social worker. Like, we weren't rolling in it. So
mm-hmm.
I got no support from my family, obviously, once I turned 18, which was fine. And I paid for college and everything like that. And really what money gave me was time. Because I was able to, write a bunch. And so when I graduated college, I was really, really driven in terms of getting my career started. I wrote a bunch of stuff every single day because I didn't have to work at like, you know, a clothing store or whatever. I'm not like I could. I don't even know how to fold my own sheets, unfortunately. Cerebral palsy is weird because it like my motor skills and everything like that, it kind of deletes me from like minimum wage jobs.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the money, it's a blessing, but also because of something.
Now,
it's like, it's a very yin yang situation.
Now I have good taste. And so I have.
Because you couldn't do those types of jobs. So
yeah, that was sort of the thinking behind it. And also like,
It's also a nice amount of money to have. And then it also puts you in kind of a trust fund situation.
Yeah. But again, like it's not enough to live off of. So it's like, it's been very clear to me that like I've now grown accustomed to a lifestyle. And no, I have.
You don't say.
I mean, trust me. I know. And so, I'm in a field that's notoriously unstable. I had a really good year this year because I wrote the movie and I worked on Will and Grace, but I'm not going back to Will and Grace next season, and I'm doing my show for a little money, and it's real. Like, I have to get another job. You know, I have money saved up from Will and Grace, but not enough to like YOLO for a year. So mm-hmm. like the pressure's on. I have a lot of anxiety and I have a lot of fears, and I also have a lot of guilt about not being good with money and living very like lavishly, even though it doesn't feel like it to me. Like, but I feel
like it to me.
Yeah. It probably is. It is. And I feel a lot of guilt about that because I know I need to get my shit together. And it's really easy to spend a lot of money when you're working and you're getting those paychecks every week. But when the job ends, when you are in hiatus or not knowing you're going back to a job, it's really stressful. And you have to really kind of rein it in. And that's the problem that I have. I have problems reining it in. And I think it's because I do have this nest egg that I can always fall back on. I think knowing that... It enables me to be bad with money, and I hate that. And that's something I really need to work on. And
yeah.
It's a big part.
Well, that's like just a mental, failure of who I am. That's just like it's like you have to just mentally reframe it. And if you were to really get clear and like write out, like do some sort of spreadsheet or whole document that shows exactly like what you have month to month and like see where your money's actually going.
Well, also,
then that's how
I think
you like,
people also think that TV writers make a ton of money, which some of them do, but a lot of them don't. For a lot of people, it's just like a middle class existence, which is kind of disappearing. I mean, you saw my tax things.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. I mean,
I'm like, taxation is theft.
No, but I mean, I want to speak candidly about this because I feel
it is shocking.
It is shocking. So, I mean, I'll just say it. I'll just say how much I made and how much I took home. Is that weird?
No.
I think it's real. It's what happened.
Say it.
Let's talk about it. So I made $250,000 last year, which was crazy, right?
$250,000.
Because I got paid for half my movie, and that was it was my work on Will and Grace.
I just had a flash of The Craft when she's like, they're like, $175,000.
Oh,
it's like that's nothing.
I'm like,
if you have fun with your apartment. No, that's like a month.
Oh, I know. And they literally acted as if it was like, oh, our lives are different now. It's like your lives are different for a year.
It's like literally, no, you would still need to live in that trailer.
I know.
$175,000.
I know. After taxes, please forget
it. You're literally walking away with like $30,000.
Right.
Anyways.
So I made $250,000, which was insane and the biggest year that I've had. But between taxes and agent, manager, and lawyer, which take 25% off the top, I walked away with...
Wait.
What?
I just want to interrupt you to see, like, as a reader...
Oh, yeah. What would you expect?
As a reader, what would you expect?
Right. What do you think I took home this year?
Just let's have a moment of silence so you can...
Crunch
the numbers.
Okay, so wait, agent, manager, lawyer, that's 25% off the top of my money.
Yeah.
Not after
plus taxes.
I'm taxed pre-tax, so it's not... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So 25%.
Let's just have a moment of silence.
And then taxes.
And then you'll say the number. And then the readers, I want you to envision what you think this number is and see if it matches up. Okay. Ready?
Okay. Wait.
Be quiet.
How?
I'm saying we'll have a moment of silence.
Sorry,
and then you'll say the number. I'm showing you with my fingers.
Five? Do you want to write 5 seconds?
I don't
know when to speak again.
Honey, Ryan, just pay attention.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Babe, come on.
Sorry. Okay, I took home 80,000. Wait, now you're ruining it. Okay.
Well, you just say it.
I took home $80,000 from $250,000.
I hope.
Which is a good living. Oh my God. It's, you know, for a year. Absolutely.
I'll take it.
I
literally figured out yesterday that I made like $30,000.
Yeah. but by the way, like, but it is crazy.
So yeah, $80,000 is like really great.
It's crazy though, from $250,000 to $80,000. I mean, it's crazy. It feels like, in a lot of ways, the system is rigged for you to not get ahead, which I know is stupid. I mean, obviously it's true, but it's like between all the people that I have on my team making money off me, which is like, they work for me, you know, it's real. And then taxes taking half my money. It's like, oh, it's sort of like,
no, but I literally, because Ryan, like, asked me to print out all his documents. So I like see everything. And I was just like, oh my God. And then we like talk, but I'm in my head, I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, you had a job for a year, you made bank, and then you walk away with like a great amount of money. Like, don't get me wrong. But also it's like, how the fuck are you supposed to like say, like, how are you supposed to get level up?
Because I could literally not work, because I have not worked for a year before. I could easily not work for a year. I'm not going back to Will and Grace, so I don't, and besides my own show, like, I don't know, I'm gonna go out for network staffing season, but I don't know if I'll get staffed. You never know, the odds are that you won't. And so it's a little nerve-wracking. And so the job is, the onus is on me as the writer to come up with new material, come up with a new pitch, come up with a new pilot, and go out. But also, when you develop, everything takes so long. I mean, seriously.
It is. It's so, a troll.
And if you're lucky enough to sell something, it takes months to see that money because the deal has to close. I mean, it's just sort of, it's not as glamorous as I guess you might think. It's a lot of having to spin your wheels and waiting and having to come up with stuff constantly, and kind of there's this like low level anxiety that you always need to have, I think, because it's useful because it pushes me forward, and I'm already coming up with new stuff, whatever. But it is sort of like, how do you end up making a living that makes sense and is sustainable in this business? Like, how do you do it? I mean, unless you're Ryan Murphy.
Well, I mean,
unless you hit the jackpot and make your own show, that's a success, but that's really rare. I mean, even what I'm doing now, it's like I've beat the odds of being a television writer. Like, I've already, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're also fine. So it's like,
we'll see. I mean, it's, but you never know completely.
You never know completely, but like, you're fine.
We'll see. Whatever. Okay.
I love this drama of like.
No, I'm just saying I'm just saying, like, it's not a stable business. It just isn't.
No, it isn't.
And
I could not
work for 2 or 3 years. There's nothing more.
I know, but the
sometimes
good,
I go.
But the good part about that is that if you do not work for 2 or 3 years, you're fine.
Well, yeah, but then my nest egg is depleted, and then what am I going to? I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can't ever be blasé about money in that way.
No, you cannot.
Especially
be,
not. I mean, if I had millions of dollars, yeah, of course.
But like,
I don't.
I'm not saying you're fine in a way of like it's complacency. I'm just saying, like, you don't have the same sorts of stressors or financial worries.
And I would not compare. This is not me being like, well, Lara thinks she has a bad. I made $80,000 last year. Like, I don't want that to come off as that.
It was starting to feel that way.
No.
I'm
just saying that everyone has their own money anxieties that are very real and specific to them. And I don't know. I mean, it's not. Obviously, I'm not trying to compare, and I would never. Okay. But no, but I think it also is transparency around money. I think it's super important.
Well,
and
yeah,
I think people
and knowledge,
need to know,
but knowledge is power, knowledge like is power, truly, yeah. Because yeah. Once you actually know and are facing the facts and dealing in facts, then that's only then that you can be like trying to change it.
But
and
also,
for so long, it's like, for me, just personally, it was like, for so long, I was just like floating in like some like weird like cloud like space of just like, who knows what really the number is, and like being afraid to check my bank account and just like total avoidance, and that has like truly not served me. And so now it's just like a moment of full-on confrontation and not allowing myself to get like so overwhelmed that I like fall apart at the seams, but also not complacent and being like, well, I'm just gonna not make money forever. Like,
right.
It's like,
just move
it's,
forward.
You have to just
keep
move
moving
forward.
Yeah. That's all you can do.
So anyways, let's talk about something else.
Okay. No, I'm just what?
I no,
actually
I know.
Like
I'm
these
just
conversations.
Like, I like this conversation.
I think that when people don't talk about money, I think that it creates a lot of confusion. I think people see others that have the same career as them, and they see them buying houses, and they like wonder why and how they got the money. And the reality is that they usually got that from their parents or whatever. And I just feel like, it's really as scary as it is to like tell people my salary, like what I made last year. And like, I feel like that's really revealing. I feel like it's just important to like talk about these things openly. I think that secretiveness around money only breeds, bad shit. So, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong or?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
All I know is what I know.
We'll see.
In my Excel
spreadsheet. We'll see when our two readers chime in.
Yeah, the reader meter is down. I'm like, dear listener, the one person
well,
that's left.
No, you know what? I fucking think that people love it when people talk about money because I think it's so
no,
rare.
I know.
So I think it's like porn. Anyway.
Moving on.
Okay.
We checked in with Misha Barton on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's like been posting a lot.
She has, which
week.
Means that she's in some kind of
she's
zone.
She's in like a manic upswing.
She's in a manic upswing. So I looked at her profile. It says her bio is life sweet, but it's with 3 E's instead of 2. Now, if it was like 8 E's, I'd be like, that was a deliberate choice that she made to like prolong the sweet.
Yeah.
But there's only 3 E's, which makes me think that it truly is just a typo.
But I think maybe her life is just a 3 E sweet. Like it's not, it's like, like that's a good sign. Like that gives
me
a sense
of hope. I think her life
is
more sour than sweet. But, I mean, maybe
she was looking fresh faced on a ski lift.
She sometimes looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has. I think she has weird yo-yo issues and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Blah.
As someone, I'm like, I kind of like relate to Misha's like up and down nature of life.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see, was having that. I think.
Well, you don't know me.
It's true. We just met. What if we were two people like contracted to play best friends on a podcast?
Yeah.
In a desperate bid for often.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In reality, we hate each other.
They're like, people love.
We not even hate. We just like don't know.
We don't know each other.
Each other.
I literally,
just, like, we never.
And I pretend to live next to you, but it's a set.
Mm-hmm.
That this podcast network that we're not on is paying for.
It's all
an elaborate ruse.
It's an elaborate ruse thought about came about.
They're like, listen, they need
from the network.
We don't know any gay guys and girls who are best friends, so we need you to play them, and then you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, just Misha has a lot of up down moments. I feel like I have a lot of up down moments, at least just like internally and mentally. And so I both fear and respect her.
Okay.
And relate.
She posted a thing.
A picture of a packet of
I don't
some
know,
sort of
a packet.
Food or
I
something.
Thought it was like a candy bar, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It says Chuckles on it.
It's like
Chuckles.
Misha.
And she was at the Mel's Drive-In at sunset.
Which
and
is if a bone chiller.
That's a babe hotspot.
That's a no.
That is a no.
That's
not
a
even,
no for me,
I don't even
dog.
Think babes go to... I think it's
no,
below a babe.
I don't even know who goes there anymore.
And I think it's a
nabe.
When
you have a question of like
it's
who goes there, the answer is Misha Barton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But imagine like us going to Mel's Drive-In. I mean, we would never.
No.
But when we see Misha Barton
if
there.
If either of us suggested that to the other person... There would be a confrontation.
Oh, please. I would like, yeah, you would have me 51-50.
No,
like Misha,
yeah.
Like Misha
would,
was.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So
prayers for Misha.
Prayers for Misha. Hope she's doing great.
Let's talk about Heather's.
Oh, because
yeah. Because that's been like a big deal. This
I know.
Week.
I want to talk about that because, I mean, full disclosure, like we know people that wrote on it.
Yeah, our friends wrote on it.
And they're like so sweet and we love them.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. Paramount Network pulled it because of out of sensitivity of the Parkland Sioux shooting, which my brain immediately went bullshit because there are school shootings every day. And until we get gun control, when is the right time to air this show? I don't understand that. Also, they released the pilot on iTunes after the school shooting happened at Parkland. So it just feels
it's weird. And it's
I
also
think they're
like,
scared from the
I
bad
hate,
press.
I hate when anyone blames like TV or film for like violence because that's just like not the biggest problem. You know what I mean?
Oh,
a fucking
my God.
Reboot of an 80s movie on Paramount Network
is not going
to
cause
the fucking reason that
know.
Anyone is going to go buy a gun and shoot up their school. Like that's not it. So
also,
I hate when, and it feels like, it honestly feels like censorship
it
on
is.
Some level
it is
and
censorship.
It really freaks me out.
Well,
and regardless of whether you are into the reboot or not, or you watched it and didn't like it, or you
it
watched
deserves
it
to
and
exist.
Loved it, it deserves to exist. And like, even if it's just on for one season then doesn't come back, it's like, who the fuck cares? Like, it freaks me out
freaks
when
me
something
out.
Just goes away because of people's outrage or like
it's dangerous. It's dangerous because, by the way, I love that it's so perfect. It's a show about censorship and outrage, from what I could tell from the pilot. And now it's being shut down because of censorship and outrage. It's like hilarious. It's a show criticizing outrage culture and how much damage that causes. And now it's like playing out in real life. It's very bizarre.
It's bizarre.
But also, can I just say, like, people have a lot of feelings about the pilot. And, you know, being a TV writer myself, I know that pilots are extremely challenging. There's so much to do. A perfect pilot is medium rare. And you have to sit with the show. You have to watch the next few episodes. You cannot judge a show based on its fucking pilot. You just cannot do that.
No.
And people were writing think pieces just from the trailer. And I was like, that is irresponsible. That is insane. That's so stupid. And then Daniel Waters, who wrote the original, right? Daniel Waters. Yeah. He did an interview where he basically said, he was like, actually the show gets really good. And I watched the first five episodes and like the pilot, he's like, I wasn't a fan of the pilot, but it gets really good. And it goes some really like goes places that are really cool and unexpected. And I'm like, yes. Why don't you let the show
just let it live?
Let it live. Like, let it get to where it needs to go.
It's not the movie. And also like the whole conceit of the show, which I didn't realize until last week, but I didn't know that each season is its own, like,
it's an anthology.
Yeah. So, like, you're only going to have to deal with, like, one season of like, high school Heathers in this setting. Like, a next season you never know, which I think is brilliant. And I also, I don't know. It just,
I think
the level of outrage over this, like, Heathers pilot is truly mind-blowing to me. I'm like, why don't you fucking get outraged about the fact that, like, Donald Trump wants to arm teachers? Like, direct it elsewhere, because this ain't it, babe.
If the show truly does not come back or even air, that will be truly bone chilling to me as a creator, as a writer. Like,
yeah.
Like to know that like your TV show could potentially get killed because of some think pieces just off the pilot. I mean, I think what Paramount should have done, I mean, I'm no exec, but
you certainly
I think,
aren't.
No, but I think what they should have done is I think they should have released all 10 episodes at once so people could see where the show was going and they could binge it. First of all, everyone watching Heathers is part of the binge watching generation.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's a no brainer. I mean, Search Party did it for season one and that was great. Everyone binged it.
Yeah.
And secondly, when you release them all at once, you can see where the show is going. So you're not going to write an outraged think piece about the pilot because you already have watched episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and you can see where the bigger picture is going.
Yeah.
So I think that honestly was a huge mistake
also,
to not release all the episodes at once.
For people to be like, that room was like full of queer writers.
Oh, I know.
Like,
and all the directors were, you know, gay women. Like it was so amazing. Like you're giving these people jobs.
I'm truly like, get a fucking life.
Get a fucking life.
And I mean, I guess we're biased because we're like friends with some of the people, but it's also like, get a fucking life.
But honestly, if I didn't know them, I would be watching this all unfold and be like, this is disgusting. And
I don't know. I'd probably be like, fuck them. But like,
really?
I mean, a little. I don't know. It's like, I can get kind of wrapped up in that.
I don't think so. When a show is killed,
but the show being killed,
we don't know if it's being killed.
Well, let's not go there.
Sorry.
But honey, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
But the being pulled off the air, that would have pissed me the fuck off. And it has.
It's unfair.
And I'm furious.
Yeah. You should know. And again, and I think that they use that shooting as an excuse. I don't buy it. I think it was the public reception of the pilot.
Also, it's like, we can move on.
I know.
But
that was a
bad, that amount of bad press is actually like a good thing, kind of. Because
absolutely.
It's at least more attention than people being neutral. Like,
in
at least people are talking about it.
Oversaturated market, like, to have a TV show warrant such think pieces and create a dialogue is incredible. To be able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So Paramount is a total babe for me this week for doing that.
Oh, yeah. Paramount is a babe,
If I pitch you a show, I love you.
No, but also, like, if you want us to develop a show based off this podcast, we'll totally come in for a meeting.
Yeah, we're into it.
And, like, it's whatever, you know, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, like, honestly, like, we support you.
Yeah. So, and maybe you're, like, a babe.
We actually don't know anyone that worked on that show. And, like, honestly, we did know them, but they were, like, pretty bad.
Yeah. So. And also, the show's, like, terrible. Yeah. So, yeah, we, like, agree with your decisions. And, like, just let us know when you want to set the meeting.
Team Paramount.
Yeah. Call our reps and, like, we'll figure it out.
Gross. Okay. Okay.
We're moving on. Okay. Kim Kardashian has pink hair, and it really, I want pink hair.
She does?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Honey,
I don't follow Kardashians.
Yeah,
you know that.
Well, she has it and it looks great. And she and Kourtney and Khloe are all in Japan.
Oh, great.
And
what are they doing?
They're just like walking around. Like, Kim is literally wearing crazy outfits.
Of course.
Bike shorts with like tube socks sure. and athletic shoes and huge sure. parkas with pink hair
sure.
just walking in and out of stores.
Great.
It's
love
amazing.
That. That's I hope the camera.
She literally just no. I think so. I think she's shooting a campaign for the Yeezy Season 7 because she's wearing all Yeezy Season 7.
Okay.
And I mean, she's never looked better. And she walks and poses in front of stores and then like walks out. It's incredible. Like
what a life.
I know. And Courtney's
how thrilling.
Courtney's style, like Kim and Courtney, their style is really major right now. Like Courtney,
but
is
not
serving
Chloe.
Honey, no, Chloe.
No, move on.
Like
moveon.org.
I don't even know what to make of Chloe's fashion
Have
choices.
Have you seen her revenge body show?
No, I think
it is
so
awful. I mean, it's the concept is awful and really fucked up in a weird way.
It's
like,
terrible.
Get thin to get revenge. Like, fuck you. Also, she's barely in it. She literally meets the person that she's doing the makeover on and she goes, tell me about your story. And they like tell her, this, they tell her this like really horrible thing. She goes, like just very
and then she's like
it's like the musical and then she disappears she literally is like
and they
right,
have
well,
to like get
good
thin.
Luck yeah so then she's like all right well,
and they don't
luck.
Get to have plastic surgery right they actually have to like work out
yeah
and
they
eat,
have to work
right?
out Ugh. But so she's like all right good luck and then she just like goes off into the sunset and then like then she goes she comes back for the reveal so we're talking about basically
she's like very hands off
yeah she literally is like there to be like hey what's your name and then she's like good job you look great like literally it's like the most non-job ever
like love that for her but
no
also,
I don't love that show and I think
no
Chloe,
I think that show
Chloe betrayed me because I feel like she pulled Gwen Stefani where I feel like I thought she was like funny and interesting and cool and then it turns out that she was just basic all along and
yeah
I feel like Gwen Stefani is a huge babe and I think that she did that and I think Chloe did that too.
Yeah Chloe did do that because
like,
now
they go to the dark side because I feel like at the end of the day I thought Chloe liked being different and unique and then really she just like wanted to be like a fucking doll and then Gwen Stefani I thought she liked being like outspoken
Gwen
and different
Stefani
Gwen Stefani
actually,
darks me the fuck out
she catfished us
no I know she totally catfished us
and it was like
now she's just
years.
Like a Beverly Hills Nightmare Hollywood bullshit
dating that guy I can't even remember his name
Blake Shelton
oh my god
fucking garbage I mean he's no Gavin Rossdale or Tony Cannell
Gavin Rossdale is truly like a bisexual butterfly of
I
my
love him.
Dreams I saw Bush perform like a
Great.
Year and some change ago and it was
currently
yeah like oh, within wow. the last 2 years Sheet. I can't remember the date but it was an incredible concert he's never looked better
Great.
He's so hot and Gwen made the biggest mistake of her life
well Gwen is not that cool to
no.
paraphrase one of her songs
Gwen is not cool but like the Kardashians like I love Kim like I love Kim Kardashian like I am truly just like in
what
awe
what is it because all my girlfriends are obsessed with her and I think it's some
she's
women
just, like,
shit
yeah
I think
it's
some
just
women
like
shit.
She's like stunningly gorgeous
women
like,
are obsessed with how they've transformed their bodies all my girlfriends
yeah and
are
what
obsessed
is fascinating to me is like imagine being a Kardashian in the sense that like they don't have to ever confront or really truly deal with the body or face they were born with.
No.
Like they can be like, they can be like, I don't like what's going on here. So not only will I like kind of work out, like I'll just hire someone to make my food and then I'll go get liposuction and literally just carve my body into the body of my dreams.
But can't every rich person do that? I feel like they do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but they do it in like a scientific
so
level that's
it's
like
cyborgs.
It's like perfect. It's yeah. like they go in knowing
that's
exactly.
Kylie, because Kylie
yeah.
that
her
was not...
surgeon said he was like she would come in and tell me exactly like little tiny things that she wanted. And I love that. And that's like really how I would do plastic surgery had I like the means.
Right.
But we all know that I don't.
I'm really glad that you don't because I don't want you to turn into some
You know
weirdo.
What I heard about that was like such a babe
what?
Is that
Ooh.
I didn't know this until recently, but there are such things as plastic surgery credit cards
oh,
where you
God,
can get
stop
a credit
it.
Card that just
plastic
pays.
Plastic for plastic.
Yeah, that pays for a procedure.
Plastic squared.
And then you pay off the debt of your plastic surgery, which
that's
is
gross.
An extremely common thing for like people
that.
In LA.
That's fucked up.
Isn't that
and
fucked?
Yeah, because there's a lot of people probably in debt.
Oh my
gets,
God.
Because by the way, it
that
gets addictive.
That would have been me if I could
it gets
get a credit
addictive,
card.
And I think that people get go back for more tweakies, and
oh,
all
yeah.
of a sudden they're like in huge debt.
No, I mean, my Botox is worn off and I'm
oh,
like.
Oh, I think you still look good.
Do you know what I actually think about the Botox is that it is kind of preventative because I don't know. It's worn
no,
off.
No, you still
but
look
I
good
But I still
though.
Don't notice like at the wrinkles I was trying to get rid of as much as I used to pre-Botox. So I really condone that. Also, mine was free, full disclosure. So it's a journey.
It was a, yeah, it was a fan, a reader. Just kidding.
No, it was my family.
I know. Like, we'd get free Botox.
Oh, I wish. Botox, if you're listening and you want to sponsor this podcast.
I mean, honestly, the thing is that we're really loyal. And if we like something, we will talk about it incessantly.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm really loyal to Botox and Dyspora or just whatever the Dyspora. Other thing was that got put into my upper forehead.
Great.
Yeah. I loved it. Know.
Well, whatever the fuck.
Anyways, John Mayer and Andy Cohen posted a picture of them like canoodling in an elevator, and I got so turned on thinking about a threesome with the two of them that I had to just go to bed.
About that friendship.
Okay,
I've talked before about like Adam. Oh my god, Adam Cohen, Andy Cohen's. I think he has internalized homophobia. He's part of a different generation, and I think no, seriously, like, what? Stop.
Nothing.
What?
I love Andy. And
no, I love Andy too. Well, you know, I love Andy, but also he's like kind of dead inside. Like, we know that. We know that.
Don't put me in a
She doesn't want to piss off Andy Cohen. You know what? I might be making a huge mistake going against him.
You're making
him.
A huge mistake.
I'm not
mistake.
Going against him.
You're
I love,
babying right
no,
now.
Stop
and
it.
I'm on the record being like,
I'm telling the truth and not she we. Wants to be nice.
No.
To like, yeah.
Well,
you
yeah,
know,
not, I don't
you know Andy Cohen is like dead inside, babe. You know that. We've talked about that.
Stop. Don't throw me under this bus. He's a wonderful person.
Oh my God. You're such a liar.
He is a sweet, generous, loving man.
You are such a psycho.
I am here for it.
Laura
he's
is
also
still...
a deadhead. I love that about him.
Okay. So I think that Andy gets, I think Andy feels much more mask when he's friends with John Mayer. I think he like in his mind earns a lot of mask points being friends with John Mayer. I think he makes him feel like less gay.
But I think that they're actually friends.
Well, yeah, of course.
I think that they're hooking up.
No, they're not. I don't think so. I think that John Mayer may have gotten drunk and like let him touch it once, but I don't think that they're
hooking
up. I think
that they cuddle together sometimes.
Oh, they totally cuddle. And you know that like John Mayer loves that Andy wants to fuck him. Like, you know
that. I think it's like a cuddly, elevated
but also,
friendship.
Andy's a top, so it doesn't make sense for him to like... I can't imagine Andy fucking John, but I think that Andy would totally bottom for John Mayer. I think he would.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't know. I'm letting you to have your theories moment, and I'm just trying to stay out of it.
Why?
I don't want to be implicated.
Oh my God. She's so scared of pissing off.
I'm scared. I just started profusely sweating.
He's probably. No, I mean, here's the deal. I don't have entirely negative feelings about Andy. I don't. I loved his books. I thought they were incredible. And I think he's very funny. And I think Watch What Happens Live is an amazing show. So I do, but I also think that he is a little like deadened. That's all.
I think he's a dead head.
I think he's dead heart.
Ooh. I disagree publicly. Disagree.
It's like all he cares about is like the famous person in the room, and he is always like
he's very focus. Transparent about that.
Okay, all right. I don't know. Someone's still gunning.
I'm Andy Dot. I'm not here to like just destroy our law. I'm like, I literally made.
I love have, Andy.
I literally I do so much debt. The last thing I need is to be like put. Like, I'm not trying to just burn.
What if
my
like?
Life
what if we go home
to
tomorrow
ground.
And like we're evicted from our apartments? Like,
no,
Andy,
I'm like
Andy
actually
is just
scared.
Like Andy is like literally put a curse on us.
I'm like, honey, you have a life. I have nothing. I'm not trying to piss Andy Cohen off and
no,
then just
I don't.
Destroy
I don't,
my entire
I don't,
existence.
I'm not against him completely. I actually really enjoy a lot of stuff that he does. I just question his kindness levels. Anyway, we can move on.
Anyways, okay, let's do emails.
Okay,
because we have some really good ones.
Okay,
I'm shaking.
Stop. I know she can't even. Open
I'm
the,
actually shaking.
She
right
can't even
now.
Open the email. It's
like, can't open the email.
Yeah,
I'm like about to like send Andy just like a tweet. It's like, I don't agree with anything, Ryan.
Yeah, because Andy's
like,
listening.
Ryan's views are his own, and they in no way reflect my feelings.
You should put that on your Twitter bio.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Lol.
Here's an email we got from Anonymous.
Have you shown this to me? I haven't
no,
seen this one.
This is a good one.
Okay.
I wanted you to be surprised by
oh,
it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Lauren Ryan. Babe doctors, I need you to give me a diagnosis on a dark babe time in my life. I met this guy around 5 years ago, and he was the first guy I ever really connected with on all levels. We were identical lollers and shared the same childhood trauma.
Oh.
The first few weeks after meeting, we tried dating, but he shut it down quick. But yet he messaged me on GChat every single day at work, and we talked all day long. It really confused me. We spent most of the time bonding and freaking out about how similar we were. A few months pass and he invites me to this barbecue. I thought, this is the time he realizes I'm meant for him. Spoiler, he didn't. In fact, he met his current girlfriend at the BBQ and kept leaving conversations with me to talk to her.
Yikes.
At this point, I was fully babying out, but I kept my cool and left. Cut to a month later when he asked me to help him do some web work and he gives me a password to his site so I could look at some code. Being the babe I am, I thought...
I love this turn into web work and coding.
I know. I love it. A web That's work. Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Being the babe I am, I thought, I wonder if this is the password he uses to all his stuff. Lol, it was.
No.
I had access to his GChats, Facebook, Instagram, etc.
Wait, that's amazing.
I knew at this point I had morphed into full babe, but I couldn't stop myself.
It's a doty move.
It is doty. I'm too voyeuristic to begin with and lacked the self-control needed to stop myself. I would read his GChats with his girlfriend every day.
No.
They fought a lot, so it was incredibly fun for me.
Wait, that's amazing.
He would fight with her and then write to me and tell me about it.
Low.
It was dark, but it became so ingrained in my schedule, I lost myself in it.
Wait.
Wake up, go to work, check social media, no. Read his messages, all while talking to him.
No, stop it. That's actually a good movie.
This is great. Oh, I would God. Even log into his email to delete the email he would get saying his email was accessed from another computer. Guys, I did this for 2 years.
No, 2 full years. Oh my God. Yikes.
After a while, I wasn't even invested anymore. It just became something I did. I just enjoyed reading private conversations at this point. I finally stopped when the girlfriend also logged onto his Gmail and read RG chats and got really upset that he lolled so much with me and not with her.
They babe out similarly. Maybe they have more in common. Does this end with them being friends?
She just wasn't a funny person, so IDK what she expected. I felt bad and changed all of his passwords so I couldn't get in and it would force him to reset them. I'm now in a healthy relationship and can truly appreciate how crazy this was.
Wait, he didn't know ever? He never found out?
He never knew.
What an idiot, by the way.
I know, idiot.
Jesus.
Have you guys ever snooped when you shouldn't have for too long? Do you have people you check on just for the sake of checking on them? That's a pretty big babe moment, right? Yeah.
A
2 year long.
I've done that once.
Investigation is a real babe moment.
I did that once with my boyfriend in high school who broke up with me and, you know, the guy that I called Teen Trash. Yeah, Teen Trash.
Oh, my God.
So we were friends, best friends for 5 years because, you know, why not? Makes perfect sense.
5 years after the fact?
And, what? Yeah, 5 years after Teen Trash.
Great.
Yeah. So he started dating this guy who lived in Washington and they would literally leave each other messages on MySpace on each other's walls that were like, babe, I loved you so much. I missed you so much. Like writing each other song lyrics like that they would post for the public to see. This is not MySpace messages. This is just straight up MySpace wall talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it enraged me because I was like, he never did that to me. He wouldn't even be in a relationship on fucking Facebook or on MySpace. He'd be called swinger.
Oh,
I know.
I forgot about that. That's really rude.
So one day he like checked his MySpace at my house and then he was like logged in. And so I like went in and I found insane pornographic photos.
Of what? Himself?
No, of his boyfriend putting dildos up his ass.
Wow.
I know. They were like kind of hot. His boyfriend had a nice body.
But
I was like watching it. I felt so creepy. I was like, oh, this really wasn't meant for me. And I logged out. I was like, this is too weird.
Yeah. I had one ex-boyfriend's email, like password for a bit, like back my like ex from college, like one of the loves of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I looked through his email. And like, I think I looked through his phone once, but like, I didn't find anything, but I also didn't want to find anything truly. Like,
yeah.
I was just kind of like, why am I doing this? Like, why would I search to look for something to get mad at? And then I was like, this is just all, I don't want to do this. And so then I just got out. I'm not like,
I don't like it.
I don't love it. I think if I was, there are certain people that I would like kill someone to get access to their emails.
Really? Like who?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's one person that I was obsessed with that if I had had access to his email, I would have gone down. It would have been going on 3 years now that I would have just, like, fully gotten into everything. But I'm glad that I didn't because it's like, I need to work, clearly.
Yeah.
But that's more
funny.
Power to you.
Yeah, why not? And I can't believe
why
I never
not?
Found
if
out
if it happens,
idiot.
He's a fucking idiot.
Oh, wait. This also reminded me of when, so, like, a few months ago, I just, like, decided to log into my old Yahoo.com account. just to like see what was in there, because it was the account that I had in high school. My screen name was Rock and Roll Me 2003. And I found these emails between me and my teen trash boyfriend that were so sad and so pathetic. It literally is me writing him being like, hey babe, I'm at the computer lab just thinking about how much I miss you and love you, like miss you, call me, like let's hang out after school today. And then he just write back, be like, okay. Like, or like, I'm busy. Like, literally it was like the most, like, it was so like obvious how much I was obsessed, and he was so not into me. It was pathetic. Anyway,
that's sad.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another email from a reader.
Oh, is this gonorrhea girl?
No.
Oh.
That's coming. Dear Ryan and Lara, I'm writing to you after a possible babe encounter I had yesterday. Ooh. I was walking through the mall after work last night when a hot guy approached me complimenting my jacket. I immediately put my defenses on because it was at the mall, and I assumed he was trying to sell me something or go off about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He proceeded to ask my name, if I was single, and if I was doing anything that night. Is it babe that I immediately took the first opportunity to escape out the door saying I was late to meet someone? Or was he the babe for being so forward in the public age of Tinder? Is it bad that as soon as a straight man approaches me, I assume I'm being trolled? How can I speak to men in the wild like humans and not rabid animals going for my jugular?
This is a question for you.
This is a question for me. I relate because I truly have no trust for straight men, and I'm building up more trust over time.
Yeah.
I'm awareness that is babe. That's very babe behavior. But I will say that awareness of the fact that you're like doing this kind of thing is the first step. And I think in a situation like that, if you're approached by a hottie who like seems interested, the best thing is either to get his phone number or get your phone number or him have your phone number and then just like, and then run away. So at least you have like contact info and can kind of follow up when you're not feeling so like babed out about things. Because I wouldn't want you to miss out on a potentially sexy opportunity with a straight guy who could be a loller and like sweet and want to take you out on a date or just fuck.
I mean, I just want to know what her jacket looked like.
Yeah, I want to know the jacket.
Because I think, depending on that, maybe he was gay.
Well, he said, what are you doing later tonight?
He could still be gay.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's like, I get it. And I truly, like, I also am freaked out as well. But, like, partially, I think that for me, has to do with sometimes feeling like I'm not worthy of attention or love.
Yeah.
So the freakiness is more coming from a place of that than a place of being truly afraid of the guy. Like, it says more about me in the end than it does about him, even though I do think that a lot of straight guys are monsters.
True that.
So, I don't know. Stay tuned. Just get the phone number or give him the phone number.
Yeah, of course. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Our next reader... This is an email that came around 2 a.m. last night.
Which is a babe time for emails.
Which is a real babe
time. If you're emailing at 2 a.m.
on a Friday, yeah, on a Saturday morning, yeah.
So this is gonorrhea girl?
This is gonorrhea girl. The message reads, I was going to start my first message with long fun reader, first time caller, but I already know whether gay did it before me.
He's gay, by the way.
Yeah.
We just call him gonorrhea girl.
Also, I love, instead of long... Because someone did say long time reader, first time caller, but he said long fun reader. Or no, long ton reader.
Ton?
Yeah, there's a lot of spelling errors. It's a 2 a.m.
I think he was drunk, yeah.
Anyways, I came to you with my own babe of the week. My ex-boyfriend low-key stalked me in New Orleans and we slept together. I think I actually slept. I think we passed out and probably didn't have sex, but he now has gonorrhea and I need to get tested. He has it in his butt and had a hookup with a DL daddy tonight. So like IDK, I'm a bad person. I want to live, laugh, love about everything, but I'm so hard on myself. Anyways, Ryan, I'm so gel. Oh, he's jealous of your hookup in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to book a massage next time he's here. So, you're getting business.
By the way, I fucking told you that...
But so what? We're not saying his name. It's fine.
Oh, my God. He better not... Wait, hold on. He better not say anything to blank about how we heard about him from the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Don't say anything.
Don't go.
Don't
just
say...
Go.
We don't have like a...
Yeah, don't drop my name.
Don't drop the code. The promotional code.
Because we did not...
No. This is just like an endorsement, but don't drop the promo code.
Right.
And then he said, Lara, I relate so heavily to the things you say, from depression and self-critical thought. You are really going to get through this.
Aww,
love the pod as well as Sep. Love that.
Love that.
gonorrhea girl, you're a sweetie. But
also wear a condom with that DL daddy. I hope, like, I mean, if you have an if you think you have an STD, put a condom on.
Yeah, put a condom on. Just go get tested. Gonorrhea is NBD.
Have you had it? Oh.
No, I haven't had gonorrhea, but I had throat chlamydia last year, and that was really not fun.
That's a blast.
Yeah. So just go get tested and take the antibiotics and get rid of it.
That was a whole
big
moment.
Oh, that was
it. We shan't talk about that.
We won't talk about that, but I'll let you know I didn't love it.
Save it for your memoir.
Yeah. I have to get paid to write about that. Yeah, just get tested. Who cares? Don't be hard on yourself. Literally everyone gets STDs.
What if you got tested and the result was just, babe?
I love that. This is art. That's what the readers write in for.
Yeah.
They're getting STB testing.
STB. That's, yeah. It's sexually transmitted, babe.
Babe?
Yeah. Oh my God, that's funny.
I love a result that's just,
babe.
Babe? The doctor calls. She's like, "You're Mr. O'Connell, we got your blood test results.
You
just
tested
came
positive
in.
You for positive babe? For,
babe?
You tested. Oh no, you tested. But you, good news, good news. You tested positive for babe.
Yeah, good news.
Yeah.
But the worst news is you tested positive for babe.
Babe. Yeah. It's true.
So, Jessica writes us, ClassPass changed their business model again. What the fuck is this premium spots bullshit? 15 credits for one class. I need to whine about this ultimate first world problem to someone in you, babe podcast Gmail account, or the only one who gets me right now. Jessica, I fucking know. ClassPass is such a fucking troll. Their credits thing, it does make a little bit more sense, but it also fucks you over because it creates a situation where you can't fully use up your credits. And so then they end up making money off of you. I hate ClassPass, but I also need it and love it. And if I had the money, I would be doing it all the time, but I don't. And I fucking hate ClassPass. But if ClassPass wants to sponsor this podcast and give me free ClassPass for a year, I will love ClassPass again. And all I will do is talk about how much I love ClassPass, because when you can just freely ClassPass, live, laugh, love, it's great.
This sounds like a problem that's perfect for a Jessica.
Yeah, this is a classic.
This is a Jessica
this
problem.
This is a really classic Jessica problem.
This is a
problem.
Classic Jessica problem.
Yeah, if you're...
Jessica! Remember Laguna Beach? Kristen?
Yeah.
Jessica! Jason hates you, Jessica! You can't go with Jason, Jessica! He likes me, Jessica! Jessica! Yeah.
I imagine Jessica walking around just being furious about ClassPass. Like, anyone named Jessica is like... irate.
Jessica's around the world. Like,
Jessica's around the world are just like, what the fuck? I have had the beta version of this ClassPass credits thing for like a month. So I've like already processed all my anger and emotions about it. But I'm also like, why do they have me on bait? Like, I guess I just because I'm a longtime ClassPasser. I don't know. Fucking ClassPass, just give me a year for free. Like, why not? You know?
Your life would be so good.
My life would be so good.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay.
How much would that be? Like $1,200? $2,400?
To truly live
your ClassPass truth?
In LA, to live your ClassPass truth and have like unlimited classes costs about $200 a month.
God. Oh, that's not that.
That's about the same as a, that's the same almost as a unlimited membership at a studio.
Cool. All right.
So, you know, $2,400.
That's like a month's rent.
$2,400?
It's more than that.
That's more than the month's rent.
Not by that much.
By a significant amount.
What are these bananas? $12?
What are you? You're living
what
in
are
a,
these bananas?
You live in a totally
I'm living in
world.
An $80,000 a year world.
Yeah, Ryan literally is.
I am 80K like, a year world.
He's like, oh, I'm just like a month's rent. That's like nowhere close
I'm
to
I'm 80K
rent.
A year.
Anyways, you pissed me off just now. I'm fucking done.
That's Shannon Bedore. I'm fucking done. That's what she said. I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done. She just leaves. I'm fucking done.
That's me.
That's Shannon Bedore. You're Shannon Bedore.
I fully Shannon.
You do. You're Shannon. I'm Vicky. Oh my God. Vicky, go
life gives you lemons. Put 9 in a bowl.
Shannon's the worst because she thinks she's funny, and so she'll tell jokes in her weird funny voice. Like, she has a funny voice, you know what I mean? Like, this is my funny voice, everyone pay attention. So she'll say things that are like, what, exercise 5 miles, I'm tired. And you're like, and then she'll be like, anyways, so yesterday, like totally back to normal. Like, got her stand up voice. Sit down.
Yeah, she's really.
Mm-hmm. She's a babe.
I'm fucking dying.
Shannon fucking Bador. Shannon, but a babe.
Okay, let's talk. Let's wrap this up.
Okay.
And talk about our babes of the week.
Minor, the God is Love woman who lost her shit at the terminal, who was sobbing about how the airlines have no compassion.
She's like,
I'll go to John Wayne. I don't care. I'll go anywhere. Just put me on a different flight, please.
They're like, $800.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Yeah.
Airlines don't care about you.
No, they don't. They don't even care about themselves. And no, that's the real burn.
Yeah.
Deep.
My babe of the week is Michelle Lamy.
And if
you don't know who she is, you need to get super familiar.
I don't know who that is.
She is Rick Owens' lover.
Oh, Rick Owens is straight?
Yeah. She is a much older woman.
Uh-huh.
She is always smoking. She like dyes her fingers black.
Sure.
She like wears all drapey shit. And she looks like a witch. She looks like a literal witch.
How long have they been fooking?
I'm going to read you this. And also, we'll link you to this New York Times like article about
them. Link them where? How?
On Twitter or social media. Like, honey, knock, knock. Who's there?
Sounded intense.
Link them on what? On what, pray tell?
Okay, go ahead. Read it. Read it. Just read it.
Okay, this is from a New York Times article by Cintra Wilson called The Feminine Side of Goth. Google that, too. So I was at Ledoux Cafe in Los Angeles a few years ago.
What cafe?
Ledoux Cafe.
What's that?
I don't know. A fucking cafe. This article is from like 2008.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. God, contact. Well, I didn't know that.
Okay.
That's
sorry.
Important.
Yeah. That was my bad.
Yeah. That's a big deal. 2008.
This article is from 2008.
So it's not new.
So it's a deep. This is
an old babe. Okay.
Well, she still is doing the same. Yeah. So, and I follow her on Instagram, and every day she just like, she only posts pictures of herself, which is a flex, or with celebrities. And she's always just like laughing, smoking, like,
okay,
layering,
sure,
and like witching, and it's like giving me a lot because she's literally like 97 years old.
Oh, that's great.
She's not actually 97, but she's like
47.
She's 159 years old. Like, she's 378 years old.
Okay,
so the article says, so I was at Ledoux Cafe in Los Angeles a few years ago, enthused Nancy, who wears Rick Owens as often as possible, and was telling me why. I was sitting by the door in a halter top, shivering a little, and this drop-dead, fabulous older woman comes in. Tiny, skinny, smoking, wild, black, witchy woman hair, wearing this very clingy Morticia Adams meets Ginger Rogers look with her skirt dragging on the floor. Gobs of big, wonderful rings. She looks at me and asks in her French accent, "Are you cold?" And she rips this absolutely incredible leather jacket off her body and throws it around my shoulders. Wow. Then she sashays away, looks at me over her shoulder, wags her finger and says, "Don't forget on your way out." Did she instantly become your role model for life? Completely. So she turns out to be Michelle Lamy, the owner of Ledoux. Everything she's wearing is Rick Owens because he's her lover. She's his muse. She's significantly older, but he fell madly in love with her when he was a crazy 20-something bisexual. I never wanted to take that jacket off. So
I love that.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And like,
that's a babe move.
Honestly,
giving a stranger your leather jacket.
And those leather jackets are like $3,000.
Yeah, but for her, it's free.
And so
I
aspire to be a much older muse of a 20-something bisexual.
I aspire to have a Rick Owens leather jacket.
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
So Michelle's my babe of the week. Follow her on Insta. You won't be disappointed.
I love that.
And with that, we're done here.
We're done.
I'm fucking done.
That's how she says it. Like, it's kind of crazy.
You actually brought that out organically.
It's crazy that you didn't know that was Shannon Bador that you just channeled. It was crazy that you didn't know.
It just happens.
Mm-mm-mm, witchy.
But it takes a certain someone to really put me in that mental space.
Yeah.
And
you're around the corner from Shannon Bador all the time. I'll tell you that.
Not
a long journey. Yeah, of course I'm Vicky. I love Vicky.
I am Shannon. That is like my Real Housewives.
If Jonathan faked brain cancer, I would stand for him.
You would.
I would be like, yes, he has brain cancer. Give me a casserole. I was expecting casseroles.
Oh, man. Anyway. All right. Well.
All right. Love and light, babes.
Love and light, babes. Write us if you have thoughts. Babe podcast. Don't. Oh, sorry. Babe, I'm now plugging. You can't just interrupt.
Right.
I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done.
I want to pull it up like and just have you know how similar it is.
Let's pull it up.
I don't know if you can.
Wait.
I don't know. Like, just put, I'm fucking done, Shannon Bedore. I mean, she does it. She always storms out of things saying, I'm fucking done. It's really funny.
There's got to be a video.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we're going to pull it up.
Just put, I'm fucking done, Shannon Bedore.
Here we are.
Is that it?
Oh, great. Shannon Bedore storms off.
Oh, great.
I was upset when you said that I was just like thinking that's what set me off. So let's be clear.
Okay.
When you said that I was just like thinking you don't know me.
This is me talking about you.
I have a 4-year history with her. And
you want me to hear what I'm saying about it?
I just heard
Lydia the devil, by the way.
I'm reminding you of me. I'm nothing like you.
Okay.
True.
Her reaction does not justify what I said. This reaction clearly has to do with a lot of other stuff going on. It has nothing to do with me. I just met this chick 5 minutes ago.
I will never be like Vicky Hamilton.
Okay, I feel like it's semantics.
I will never be like Ryan O'Connell.
Kind of like obsessing about this.
No, I'm not obsessing about anything, Lydia.
Okay, we're not going to get along, I feel like. I don't want to hang out.
No,
I don't want to go out to dinner with someone that, like, anything I say, you're attacking me about it.
You got
to
understand.
I just care about it.
Your mom said I had a bright light. Maybe you should talk to her a little bit.
Okay, well, she also said you're a lost soul.
I'm fucking done.
I'm fucking done.
That's me.
And now we're fucking
and
done.
Now.
Oh, wait, we have to plug ourselves.
Oh, yeah, so... Write us emails, babepodcast@gmail.com. If you love this podcast, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating,
reviews.
Give us a review.
I love the reviews. We'll read
Ryan,
them online.
Yeah, we'll
sorry,
read them.
On the podcast.
And yeah, now we're fucking done.